Okay, so I am extremely excited to welcome my friend Scott Page onto the podcast. And Scott, I gotta, first of all, give you a very big thank you because you are my original inspiration for doing this in the first place. Wow. Let me just explain the backstory to our listeners. I was in Miami a few months ago and we were at a party, hilariously, in Ken Griffin's house. Ken Griffin, the multi-billionaire from Citadel Capital. And we met Scott, and I was there with my wife, and my wife and Scott hit it off. Absolutely hilarious, having amazing conversations about consciousness and all that sort of stuff, which I definitely want to talk to you a little bit later.
Sure.
So we were hanging out for the night, and he asked me what I do, and I was telling him about, you know, how I work in the blockchain and NFT and metaverse space. And I was amazed that Scott, who is obviously a veteran of the music industry, having worked in, having been a member of obviously Pink Floyd, but also Toto and Supertramp. He's been around the world. He's been in the music industry for so long, but now he's really, really deep in NFTs. And I just love the stories he told. And then we coincidentally ended up on the same panel at the blockchain event the next day. And I just really, really loved it. And I said to Scott later on that night, I said, will you come on our Twitter spaces? He said, of course. So we came on the Twitter spaces. It was the best one we've ever done. And I thought to myself, I have to do more of these. And so thank you, Scott. You're really my inspiration for this podcast. And I'm delighted to be able to have you as my first guest.
Thank you very much. I am excited. First of all, I'm a fan. And I love your wife. We had such a good conversation. Consciousness is my favorite subject and actually the most important thing to me. And so it was just, it's anytime I can have a conversation with somebody that's also realizes that, it's incredible. So yeah, I was really happy to meet you. And since then we've become pals and doing these different panels and things. And so I'm very excited you're doing this podcast. I'm glad I might've had a little bit to help you jump into this space.
Oh no, very much so. So thank you so much. So Scott, how about we start? Maybe you can tell a little bit about your background, you know, the bands, the music industry, and then before we jump into the other stuff, into NFTs, just tell us a little bit about you.
Let's see. So I come out of a musical family. My father was on a television show called The Lawrence Welk Show back in the day, which was the number one kind of variety show. And those were the days when there was only seven channels. I grew up in that thing. My father was a serial entrepreneur. We've had boat businesses, lighting businesses, candy businesses. At one time we had 26 donut shops. He was one of the co-inventors of the wah-wah pedal, the famous guitar pedal, and then also started the first amplified instruments. And he started a recording studio called that ended up becoming Sound City back in the day. Then I got really heavily into, I had this sort of entrepreneurial spirit. And as I was growing up, and I wanted to do three things in my life, I wanted to do music, then I wanted to do business, and then last kind of documentary and stuff. So as I got into technology in 1990, I really got heavily into the CD-ROM space, kind of my favorite thing that I'm kind of most thankful for and really care about a lot was I ended up producing and directing along with my friend Richard Marrick, our CTO at a company called Seventh Level, the world's first interactive cartoon musical, which starred Howie Mandel. It was called Toonland. We actually sold 11 million units of that. From that, we were able to take our company public, which was called Seventh Level. So I wrote and played pretty heavily in the tech and entertainment space. From there, I produced a lot of interactive games. We did all the Monty Python series. I did a whole other series of educational titles. From that, I went and launched a company after that, which was called New Media Broadcasting. And we built this whole collaborative collaboration software called Mashcast. So it was a whole platform. Imagine an instant messaging where everybody could collaborate and create content in real time worldwide. Did that, had a few runs there. Did some other businesses, and now really heavily into the Web3 space, really focused. And we just launched Loot 8, our NFT platform. It's basically an experience platform, experience kind of wallet, EXP wallet. We call it Experience Passport. And I'm very excited about this space. And I speak a lot at a lot of conferences and things. And so I met you.
Yeah, absolutely. So you told me all about Loot 8 last time. I think it's brilliant because I believe it's solving problems that I haven't really seen in other areas. But before we get to that, tell us about how you discovered NFTs, how you got involved, and what was the kind of light bulb moment that made you kind of go, all right, now I'm going to go down this direction?
So I belong to a group called METAL, which stands for Media, Entertainment, Technology, Artists, Leaders, run by a good friend of mine, Ken Rakowski, who's been, you know, one of the thought leaders in technology for many years, almost 25 years now, I guess. So I got heavily into that group, and that group was made up of pretty much a lot of the OGs and the major players of the crypto space, you know, Brock Pierce, and William Quigley, who, you know, started Wax and Tether, and Michael Turpin, who's considered sort of the grandfather of Bitcoin. All those guys were part of that group, and they came in. I'll never forget. They came in and they were telling us one day, it was an organization where every Saturday we get together. It was like a TED talk and stuff. So Brock and Michael came in, did a whole talk on NFTs, and I mean, not on NFTs, on crypto. It was funny because they were telling us, hey, buy a bunch of this stuff. It's like $7. Right. No, I wish I would have bought. I wish I would have bought a lot of that. I had a friend that did. And that's a funny story.
We all.
Yeah. I mean, I got a friend that did it, that was there that day, bought $50,000 worth, sat on it. And next thing he opened his wallet up, he had $90 million in his wallet. It was crazy. but anyway, so I got heavily into this sort of in that tech space since I've been in the tech, and I was following, you know, CryptoPunks and all that. I didn't really quite get it. And then one day, you know, it started to get more, and everybody was calling me up and going, hey, man, you got all those collectibles from Floyd and Supertramp and all that stuff. You should get into NFTs. So I ended up meeting with some people on that. And then I realized I was a tech guy, and I said, hey, I need to get into this space. So we decided, I called a friend of mine in a blockchain engineer and stuff, and kind of went after it. And we got lucky. I kind of worked with some guys, and we got our first NFT out there that we ended up selling for $1.1 million, which was incredible.
Wow.
That was an amazing day for sure. And that got me really into it. And then we had another sale. We did about $670,000 on another project. But anyway, that got me heavily into the business. And since then, that's kind of what I believe in. You know, for me, NFTs truly represent freedom for the people. Once people really understand what an NFT is and how it works and what it's all about, they'll start to realize we go beyond the ape. It's not just a JPEG.
I love it.
They don't understand the business models you can build on top of it, how you can build rights, roles, and permissions, and pass those permissions on to people and build. And then you got this little robot network over here handling all the transactions for you. So it's really exciting. And, you know, for me, I'm looking at NFTs, you know, for access control and gating and building communities. So heavily into this now. I believe it's the most important technology to come along for humanity in a long time. And I think it's all around decentralization is really important. So anyway, there you go.
I love it. I mean, I'm a big Bitcoin fan, and I also believe that is digital freedom. And, you know, when we were on that panel last year, I think you were telling some really awesome stories about how NFTs are about storytelling.
Yeah.
And they're about digital freedom. And you told that amazing story about the young girl. Maybe you can tell
that. Oh, yeah. That's you know, it's funny. I tell this story all the time because I felt it was so profound. I can't think of one podcast or one Twitter spaces that I don't tell this story, because it really does explain the power of what NFTs are. So I go to this meetup. I go to a bunch of meetups here along in Los Angeles. And it was an NFT meetup. And this girl, she was 19 years old. She gets up and she says, I'm a photographer and I love photography. And all I want to do is do photography all day long. And so I got into NFTs 9 months ago, and I'm so excited because now I pay my rent, I pay my car payments. Mm. I live 100% off my NFTs. And I thought, wow, that's cool. And then she said, and on top of that, I carved a little piece of my smart contract off for my community center. And so far, they've gotten 2.5 ETH. And at that time, that was around $10,000. So awesome. I try to explain to people how many 19-year-old girls that nobody knows, that are getting into their art and actually living off of their art and what they want to do, and actually handing $10,000 to their community center. So this really represents the whole concept of freedom. For me, this is a freedom for the people, because it allows for a total direct-to-consumer business model that we've never had before, wallet to wallet. And it is this whole idea of decentralization, which is really important to me because, you know, we're looking right now where they're trying to centralize everything, which is a horrible idea, especially with the banking systems, you know, the Western Central Banks, the Fed, they're looking at putting us on this CBDC coin, which I'm going to tell everybody out there, do not do that. That is,
we can have a completely separate new podcast conversation all about that. Let's not go there today.
No, we're not going to go there. But anyway, so that's story. So anyway, it is the people's movement. And I think once people start to realize that everything's going to be NFT'd and that NFTs, like we said, is a great storytelling device because NFTs are all about story, what creates the value. And now we can empower the consumers or our fans or that to also build businesses on tops of things that I can create. And then we can maintain the royalties and all of that. So it's a very powerful thing. And I think everything from a hair salon to a yoga studio to bars are all going to be using NFTs in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, look, you were part of Pink Floyd. They were known for pushing the envelope around technology for music. Yep. Obviously, the entire industry has gone through several very seismic changes over the last while with, you know, the whole Napster thing and Spotify and other stuff. I think you've got a very unique experience here because of your background in the industry and knowing how it happens, and then seeing now how people are using NFTs to really free them, number one, from, how is it described to me a little while ago by someone in the industry, the slavery that you are part of from record companies and management teams and just not being able to do what you want with your own stuff. I mean, you see these TikTok stars now and they have a big, you know, success, and along comes a record company and goes, here's $1 million. And they think, oh my God, that's debt. That's $1 million of debt. You probably are going to make $5 million until you sort of pay that off until you get on there.
Yep.
I've met bands in LA and they're going, nah, we're just going to make our album as an NFT and we have a small community. And once you get that community to a certain size, you can then have enough to keep you going crypto. You told me a brilliant story about once you get like 1,000 fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, there Kevin Kelly from Wired Magazine, I think it was maybe 15 years ago, came out with a thing called 1,000 True Fans. And a true fan is somebody that will spend $100 a year on you. So if I have 1,000 true fans, that's $100,000 in revenue. So that concept of where we are going right now, we used to be had to go wide and go broad. Now I teach everybody to go small. It's all about, and I would even say 1,000 true fans in the NFT space, you don't even need that. I'd go for the first 100 to 200 true fans, because in this space, you can actually start generating a lot more revenue from a small group of super fans. So I believe that we're moving into what I call hives. And if you want to survive, you got to build a hive. That's my model. I have friends that are already that have like, you know, 100, 150 followers that are in their space and they're making their living and doing well off of that, pay their entire nut for the year off a small group of people. So yes, that this is a time where it's all about the super fan and bringing those people together and really creating value for them, because we now know that out of all your fans, so if you have 100,000 fans, it's really the 1 to 2 to 3% of those people who are your super fans that will actually generate roughly around 60 to 70% of your revenue. That's all data that we have now, which is one of the other big drivers that help artists and musicians. We have access to the data.
So how else do you see the world of Web3, decentralization, NFTs, and even metaverse helping to solve problems and really change the music industry for better?
Again, this allows us to build our own audience. Whoever owns the audience wins, right? And what's nice about this is because you can't, in the music business, first of all, you can't sell music anymore. There's no place to sell music. Where am I going to sell it? I can't sell CDs. Yeah. There's no downloads. The streaming business is a horrible business because we know that, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of tracks that are going up every day. And we know that a million streams will pay you roughly around $3,000 to $5,000. That sounds okay. The only problem is it's only like 2 to 3% of the entire Spotify catalog even hits a million streams. So horrible business model. You know, musicians have gotten beaten up forever. I mean, I remember back, you know, 40 years ago when I was playing clubs, I would get 50 to $100 a night. Now, if I go to play a club, it's $50 to $100. It hasn't changed in 40 years. And it even got worse because they won't pay me unless I bring the audience. So I got to bring my own audience. I got to pay to play, basically. So this whole thing changes the whole game, because now I can build a, I can build relationships, because the two things you can sell as an artist today is the relationship and the experience. And what's beautiful about NFTs is they are experience. You can build experiences on top of them. You can tell stories. You can make the, you know, the a whole new way to kind of create content and create a relationship and reward and build your, you know, and reward your fans in a whole different way. Plus the things that they invest in when they own these NFTs, they can got a secondary market where they can actually go out and resell those. So this creates a whole new business strategy for artists to build their business on that they can control. And so, you know, that's a big part of what Loot 8 is all about, which we can talk about in a bit, but it's really about creating an experience platform where I can reward a loyalty for my, you know, my super fans and create relationships where I can communicate with them in a different way, but it's in a gated community that I can control and, you know, kind of monetize.
Amazing. So yeah, let's talk about Loot 8. Tell our listeners from the very, very beginning what it is.
And yeah. So Loot 8 is really kind of bringing the physical world and the digital world together and creating experiences on top of tokens. So I realized when I got into this space, there's several things that are really rough in this whole thing is the onboarding of a brand or an artist or whoever wants to get into the Web3 space. Cause you know, it's tough. You got to have guys that know how to write Solidity contracts. So you need engineering, you need tokenomics experts. You need all this stuff just to create a collection. Then when you got the collection, it's like, how do I get my consumers, my fans to buy it? Because they got to go out and get a MetaMask. They got to know seed phrases. They got to learn to go buy crypto. It gets so complex. So, and then once I finally get them to there, then I got to be able to communicate with them, which is then I got to move them over to Discord, which is another painful thing. So Loot 8 was put in place to really think about not so much the crypto people, but how do we onboard and bring sort of the Web 2 user into space and make it feel very familiar and them not even realizing that they're running on a basically a decentralized system. So we've developed a whole unique way where we have a no code kind of platform where you create assets as a brand. You can drop those assets in. It'll create all your NFTs, create all your kind of gated community. We think of NFTs as a way to create access layers based upon traits and rarity and stuff. So anyway, we have an AI thing, you drop it in, it'll create all your assets, writes all the smart contracts, then creates QR codes and things and printable files that go along with each one of those NFTs, which then we create. Do I have any of those here right in front of me? No. We actually create a physical twin. And then those twins, you can use the QR codes on the back to claim that unique NFT. Once you do that, it's real simple. All you need is an email or use one of your social sites. No wallet stuff. Once you do that, we run both in the browser plus both of the mobile apps. So you don't even have to download a mobile app, just use your email thing. And all of a sudden we build a fully decentralized wallet that is running 100% on the blockchain, no servers. So we don't control your data. It gets you into the system. And now you have an application where the communications and all the social media is actually built into your token holders. So you have a direct connect with them. It's based on being able to use this app to go to live events. It's all geofenced, so we can do drops and loyalty tokens and people can buy and sell things and collect tokens. So it's really about creating a kind of a circular economy to bring the brand or the artist and the fans into a Web3 fully decentralized system without having to go through all the headaches. So I believe we've solved all those problems. We just launched at NFT LA just a couple of weeks ago, and it's working like a champ, and we're very excited. Customers are lining up and here we go.
That was an incredible, compact articulation of the immense complexity of what you've built there in just a couple of minutes. I love it. I mean, we've obviously spoken about this in detail, but it's so what I love about your platform, Scott, is that it's solving a significant amount of problems out there. I mean, okay, from the very beginning, you're bringing Web 2 people into Web 3. You're making it easy for them because at the end of the day, people get too tied up in the technology.
Yeah.
You know, distributed blockchain, NFTs. At the end of the day, most people don't care. They just want to do what they want to do, or they want to make it easier. But the fact that it's geofenced and then you got token gating based on NFTs around a particular location is brilliant. And this is what I was speaking to someone else again just this morning. People unfortunately have this negative connotation of NFTs because they see million-dollar rocks and, you know, multi-million-dollar monkeys. But at the end of the day, the technology is still an incredible ability to put anything that is digital and of value and have ownership on the blockchain and have it public and have it in your wallet, but also do what you're doing, which is what most of it is being part of a very special club. And that's what people want to do. We've also seen, I'm working with a couple of people who are trying to solve the ticketing problem. You know, we've seen the Taylor Swift issues and all that sort of stuff. And like you said there, you know, one of the greatest things that NFTs are going to do is bring an ability for artists to benefit from the resale of their tickets and the royalties, which I think, you know, like you said, everyone in the music industry has got screwed so many times. And nowadays it's so hard to make money, but you know, you're solving real problems here. And I think it's amazing. And yeah, I'm keen to hear about how it went at NFTLA and what the future holds.
Yeah. Just before I go back, I want to talk real one question, because you mentioned, you know, the ape, right? The ape. The thing that people need to understand about that is it's not so much the JPEG and that, it's really the rights, roles, and permissions you have to that asset. And if you look at Bored Apes, it's a perfect example of showing how NFTs can build brands. If you look at the whole ecosystem around the Bored Apes, there's Bored Water, Bored Hotels, Bored, you know, shoes, jackets. There's four ape guys I know that signed a deal, I think it was with CAA, and they're doing a cartoon show. So if you think of the Bored Ape infrastructure and what Bored Ape community has done, I mean, think about it. It's the only business that I've known that's gone from zero to, a $2 billion or $4 billion company in less than 2 years, right? It's crazy. Yeah. And the reason is this is a distributed brand. So I wanted the listeners to understand what happens is, imagine you got 10,000 people buying into this brand. You own this ape, and then you can do things with it. You can build businesses on top of it. So it's, if you imagine Nike was to do the swoosh, and they did 10,000 of those swooshes, a red one, a blue one, a green one, once with diamond stars, stripes, all that kind of stuff. And then you have the right to build a brand on top of that. So it's a decentralized brand with a whole community of 10,000 people building on top of it. It's one of the powers.
Absolutely.
Of NFTs. Yeah. So, and
I mean, you've kind of covered it so well there. And I was trying to explain this to people recently, because I know a number of people who have CryptoPunks and Bored Apes. And aside from what you've talked about is building the brand, even just having one of these things is like, it's the new age flex. I mean, you could have a Rolex or you can have a Ferrari, but how many people are actually going to see that? If you have a punk and it's, you know, on your Twitter, then, you know, people know that you're of that level, and it opens doors. I know people that have closed deals. They've got in to talk to people that they would never have ever been able to connect with. Yeah. And then you get invited to parties, you know, my friend was on this yacht, you know, hanging out with celebrities. And that is the ticket to this sort of world that people don't understand. They go, you must be nuts paying, you know, couple of hundred thousand dollars for, you know, a JPEG that I can just email. But that's the misconception.
Well, it's access.
Then on top of that, what you say is this building of a brand, you know, we've got a very, very interesting future ahead with these sort of things.
It's access. And if you think about it too, what's interesting about NFTs is businesses, think about it on a global basis. Right? There's people all around the world that don't have access to physical things, and now they have they have digital assets that can have value. Yeah. I think it helps bring people out of poverty. I mean, there's so many things, the power of what this is, as long as we can keep it decentralized, right? I mean, we also have to talk about the downside of all of this stuff, because there is a downside. And again, you know, bad actors can get involved. And, you know, when you think about NFTs, there's a, you know, you can gamify them. There's things you can do. So there's ways you can control people and things through using like the Hooked model. I don't know if anybody's ever read Hooked. I recommend this to everybody. It's critical. It's a book called Hooked, How to Create Habit Forming Products. And when you see the Hooked model, it's basically a set of user behaviors that they know work over and over again. And when you do that, you can basically hook somebody into doing things. So that's fine, as long as the things you want them to do is on the up and up and actually good for society and positive. But it also can get in the wrong hands, where people then can control things. So there's a lot of things that we need to be aware of with this. But on the upside, there is so many powerful things that can be done with this on a global basis to help people and build businesses. And, you know, the idea of scarcity and creating something that's new and unique is, you know, again, it's the story. Why do NFTs sell? Why are they important? It's because the story that is around that asset, the story and the utility that you can build around that. And finally, a digital asset can be just as verified as a physical item that you own. So it really changes the game in a really big way.
Absolutely. And also the community aspect, which is, you know, one of the biggest ones for NFTs. You see, you know, these people really having so much value of being part of something. And, you know, they get onto Discord and they say GM every day and they're making these friends. And, you know, then they're taking these friends from online into offline. I think what your project is doing is providing the sort of infrastructure around that community as well, and I'm very excited about where this is going. So what's next for UpState?
Well, let's see. For you mean for my company?
For Ludace?
Yeah. Well, we're very excited. We launched at NFT LA. We had it was excellent. Everything worked pretty well. We had a few little bugs, but we fixed those. So it was great. We're getting ready to do the Tulum Crypto Fest coming up, and we're using Ludate as the conference pass. So everybody gets their conference pass. Everyone is totally unique. And then we'll be doing drops. If they show up at events, they get stuff. We got time-based drops. We've got loyalty tokens. You know, you can drop in drink tokens and all that stuff. So it's really going to be used there for managing that. We're talking now with Belgrade. I'm going to be keynote speaking in Belgrade for the Big Tomorrow conference coming up. So we're that. We got NAMM Show next week coming up, which is the National Center of Music Merchants, our big music trade show, which we're going to actually be using Ludate too there. So we have a lot of things coming online. And actually, the one that's really exciting is I'm on the cover this month of NFT Today magazine, which is cool.
Awesome.
But what's really cool, about that is this cover, along with my NFTs and a whole collection of stuff, is getting launched, going to the moon in June on a big SpaceX NASA thing, on a special hard drive with 44 other artists that they've put all of their stuff. And I actually put my entire life archives, every Pink Floyd video, all my Pink Floyd videos, my photos, my Supertramp, my Toto, all the way back when I was a kid doing the Lawrence Welk show, the NAMM show. I mean, all this stuff. And it's actually going to the moon and going to be dropped off there in June, which is really cool. And so I have a massive, all my NFT collections are going to be up there. I'm launching my NFT collections coming up here. And it's pretty exciting time. So Loot is getting some traction. We're very excited about the folks that are coming on board.
To the moon. I love it. That is absolutely amazing, Scott. I want to see that. That's so cool. So look, I know you're super limited on time, but thank you so much for joining. I want to continue this conversation. We're going to have you back on. I want to talk about consciousness. I want to talk about Bitcoin, and I want to talk about CBDCs, because we're very, very aligned there. I also want to talk about AI. I mean, you know, do you ever think AI can get any consciousness? Ooh. I have some views there.
Oh boy, dude, we definitely need to get on. Right? I have a lot of views about that. We can definitely have some conversations about everything that's going on. All those things are really, really unique.
Well, let's do it. Thank you so much for joining me. We will catch up again soon. Yep. I'm super excited about everything you're doing in Ludate, and thank you for pushing the boundaries and really helping people to really understand this transformational technology. Absolutely love it. Thanks for it. And we will speak again soon.
And I'm very thank you for having me today. And I'm really thankful to be on your first show. Yippee! At the launch. We're launching everything.
Awesome.
We're going to the moon. We're launching.
We're going to the moon, fish. Scott. We're going to
It's all
moon.
Good. So yeah, please, anytime. I'm very happy to come on and talk. I mean, this was a short one, but we can just, anytime you want to schedule another one, we can dive deep into all of those subjects. I think they're very important. And those are ones that we need to get out to let people know that this is a movement, the people's movement. It's about freedom. And I mean that at the highest level, freedom completely, because we don't want to be slaves to a system where we don't have any control. And like I said, this is critical for humanity, and I'm happy to be here. And call me anytime, buddy, and say hi to your wife.
I will. Awesome. Thanks so much, Scott.
All right, my friend. Talk to you later.